Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audio Visual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Sweet pookas, man.
All your fantasy sports updates. Now, the host from the East Coast, here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
All right, you know it. It is another edition of the Wagner Wire. I am your host, Adam Wagner. You can find me on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. Riding solo like Han. That's right, Han Solo. My producer and esteemed colleague, Devin Ludicky, had to call out sick, man. So my thoughts and prayers are with you. Riding into control room. I haven't done this before, so it's gonna be kind of a fun time, man. I'm kind of excited about it. Just rolling that solo style, like I said, with Han. We got a loaded show today. First off, before we get into anything, I want to talk a little bit about Thrive Fantasy. First off on the show, and then, you know, it's Daytona, so start your engines, rev them up. NASCAR season is upon us. All the left-handed turns that you need to know. We'll be talking about NASCAR and Daytona 500. Can Logano carry off of where he picked off from where he carried off, wants to reign and maintain the title. Also, a little Martin Truex Jr. there. That's my guy, MTJ. I think he's going to be the one that gets it going. Maybe he can reclaim that throne. Maybe Kyle Busch looking to get in his 14th try. Maybe he's trying to actually get the highly coveted crown of the Daytona 500. We'll have Taco DFS from DFSArmy.com on around 10:30 to preview Daytona 500 and all the left-hand turns you need to know from there. We'll also be talking about NFL. Lots happened in the NFL. You know, it's really sad when the NFL has a lot more news going on and just after its end, right? Just after its end state, after the season has come to a conclusion, now we have more scuttlebutt, more flair, right? More news happening with the NFL than we have with MLB. It is atrocious that Major League Baseball cannot sign their two headlined free agents right now. We're talking about Manny Machado and we're talking about Bryce Harper. How in the hell can you not sign either of these guys, Major League Baseball? Why is it that your top free agents can't get signed? And what we're already talking, we got Kareem Hunt, who is a PR risk for any NFL franchise or NFL organization that wants to take him. They've already taken on that risk and signed him to a contract, but we can't get the headline free agents of Major League Baseball signed. You had Bryce Harper. We talked a little bit about this last week too. And before I go on this rant, let me tell you the rest. See, that's just it. I get a little sidetracked here with my rants, and I mean, I'm very passionate about how I feel about sports, right? So I always get distracted, and you know, don't get to tell you what's going to happen on the other rundown of the show. So hour number two, without further ado, hour number two, we'll talk a little bit more NFL, and then we'll have Al Walsh come on out from theduel.com. He's going to be jumping on to break down a little bit more about the NFL trades between Flacco or the Ravens trading Flacco over to the Broncos, and then, you know, the AB turmoil, everything happening in Steel City. Things not looking real well for the Steeler Nation. We'll talk a little bit more about that. He'll address that. And then 11:45, your turn, your time to shine. It'll be just a tip. Again, we'll open up the phone lines. The phone lines are always open. We invite you to be a part of the conversation. 512-447-337 or 3776 rather. And that specs text line is 512-337-3776 as well. Again, the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, 512-447-3776. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to be a part of the conversation. I will have you on, gladly have you on. Give me something to talk about a little bit more with your conversation as well, because we all know that the money driver is the NFL, right? And that usually is the conversation that sparks the conversation on why we just continue to love sports, right? I mean, the NFL might die, but the NFL conversation continues to go on because it's the money driver. It's the thing that it's why we have dynasty fantasy football leagues, right? We had Bob Harris on last week. Bob Harris, we actually talked a little bit about Kareem Hunt on if people take a risk on Kareem Hunt, because it really stemmed from a conversation with Todd Gurley. With the productivity that Gurley had in the first season, in the first half of the season, and then the decline that he had in the second half of the season, we talked about maybe, you know, getting him on a low value, you know, guys trying to seek Todd Gurley, you know, offering maybe a second rounder or a third rounder would be a little bit of an insult, but maybe you could get him on a second rounder. And then that brought up, you know, a conversation, well, what do you do with a running back like Kareem Hunt, who, you know, chances are at the time we didn't know if he was going to be signed to an NFL roster. Sure enough, a day later, as I talked to Bob Harris, the Monday morning news broke and Kareem Hunt was signed by the Cleveland Browns, which, I mean, yeah, it makes me want to have Bob Harris on my show every week, because it just seems like whatever we talk about just comes to fruition, because that happened in the first week. We talked a little bit about Le'Veon Bell actually doing the whole entire holdout and not just staying longer than 6 weeks. We predicted that Le'Veon Bell would actually stay. We predicted a week 13 return, but that didn't happen anyways. But still, I guess I defeated my point there. But anyways, I like to have Bob Harris on the show. I guess it was a little bit more of a coincidence last week, rather, that Kareem Hunt signed after we talked about Kareem Hunt. All right, but anyway, back to MLB. It's very atrocious. You can't sign your two main headliners right now, but you can have all this hype going on with, my God, Joe Flacco, the Ravens, and the Broncos right after the season of the NFL. And that is because the NFL is the money driver. Baseball, we're very scared for you, man, because it looks like you could be dying. All right, it looks like soccer, which you just heard a great soccer show, The Throw-In, led by Kit McConico and Justin the Smash Simmons. You know, soccer could be leaping or taking over baseball when in terms of revenue and in terms of popularity in this country. You're starting to see more of a thrive in soccer than you are in baseball. Why? Case in point, you can't even sign your headliners. You can't even sign your top free agents. Bryce Harper, we talked a little bit about this last week. Bryce Harper wanted reportedly $300 million for 10 years. That was the reported offer that the Nationals gave him. Turned it down. Turned it down because he and his free agents, his agent wanted to, their camp thought that they could get, I don't know, plus 350, plus 400 in 10 years. That's not going to happen. Manny Machado wanted reportedly plus $300 million. The market is not there. Ownership is not allowing the players to have the power that the NBA has. All right? It's just not there. You saw Anthony Davis and his agent, Rich Paul, walk out and leave the venue in the Pelicans last game after he got hurt. That's not supposed to happen either. At what point do we have a standard on that the agent leaves without consulting with a team doctor and takes his player out of the game and just decides to leave the venue and to leave the game completely? It's one thing to go to the locker room. It's another thing to leave the venue. But that's what the power, the players have the power in the NBA. The players do not have the power in the MLB, and you're seeing that. Case in point, your top free agents can't even get signed, and it's killing me because as a seamhead, I love baseball. I really do. I mean, I'm an Orioles fan, so you know I love baseball. I watch the Orioles lose almost damn near every night, and I know it's not insanity. I know what's going to happen, but still, there's that bit of hope. There's that bit of hope that the Orioles win, or you see some good talent, some good prospects come up. Man, baseball, you're hurting. If you can't get Manny Machado and you can't get Bryce Harper to sign before the season even starts, we got pitchers and catchers that have already reported. The Oakland A's have been in camp. Pitchers and catchers have been in camp for the Oakland A's for damn near a week now. And you have your season getting ready to start and you can't sign Bryce Harper and you can't sign Manny Machado? Shame on you, man. Seriously. Get it together. And maybe, you know, I'll look at it from the owner's standpoint too. Maybe the players are asking way too much money to hit a baseball. If you ask me, I side with the players, man. It's I did pretty damn well in physics over at the 40 Acres. you're asking a player to hit a rounded ball, a rounded shape with a cylinder bat at, I don't know, velocity damn near between 95 to 100. You know, now that's the extremes rather, but still, the elite baseball players can do that. And that's why you pay for a guy like Bryce Harper who can rake like that. A guy like Manny Machado who can rake like that. Who can get to every hole. There's not a hole in that infield with Manny Machado there. He's got so much range coming from shortstop. And oh, might I add, he's been playing at the hot corner for damn near a decade. Or not a decade, but since he's come up. So he's versatile. He's got range. He can make every throw. Does he have a little bit, is there, you know, an off the field, mindset issue, or not mindset, but is he a cancer? Is he a head case? Not completely, but he does have some off the field antics that you need to address. He's gotten to a little bit of an altercation. We've seen his maturity has been in question, right? His maturity level. You know, is he a no nonsense ball player? Well, Bryce Harper appears to be. I mean, besides the marketing scheme and flicking the hair back, Bryce Harper appears to be a no-nonsense ball player. I can't really say that for Manny Machado, being an avid fan of Manny's. You know, I've followed him pretty closely throughout his young career, and I would say that he's a little bit of a drama queen. Is that something that you want to take into your ball club? I don't know. We'll talk about that. 512-447-3776. Again, we invite you to be a part of the conversation. I've been raving about Thrive Fantasy. All right, now, Thrive Fantasy is a concept that it really combines DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, and prop bets. Now, do you guys know what prop bets are? Prop bets are like you see in the Super Bowl, right? You know, Gladys Knight, is she going to go over or under 150, a minute and 57 seconds? Well, that's a prop bet. Is LeBron James going to score 26 points tonight? That's a prop bet. All right? Is Trae Young going to get a steal or two steals tonight? That's a prop bet, all right? So this is what Thrive Fantasy does here. They combine a portion of Daily Fantasy Sports and a portion of prop bets. And if you accrue or accumulate the total, you know, the highest amount of points, you win that contest. So say you have to make 10 picks on your prop card, right? You have to make 10 prop bets. Let's say you make your 10 and you only hit 8 of the 10 and a guy hits 9 of the 10. That's not bad. You can still win. You know why? Because each prop bet has a different point value based off of the bet. Based off of how difficult the bet is, you'll get say 95 points over or 95 points under. Whereas another guy to hit an easier bet would probably get 85 points. Compared to that harder 95 points. So, again, you got to take in that factor as well. It's a really cool thing it's a really cool concept to actually grasp here, man. I really love it. I love how they combine everything here. It's not a headline daily fantasy sports platform or game yet, but I think it's on the verge of breakout, man. It's the only one in the business that's doing it right now. It's pretty much pioneering the way, and it's just an awesome concept to do it with, man. Okay, so. And what I've raked in $450 in the past 2 weeks on Thrive Fantasy. I'm telling you, man, the money's there, and there's not many people playing it either. So you can get in now before the sharks get in there and eat all this money up. So just to give you a little bit of an example of how these prop bets work, right? So this last card I had LeBron James. The prop bet was 25.5. All right, I took the over on that, which got me 95 points. If you took the under, you would have got 110 points. But I took the prop bet on that, and it got me, you know, he went live. His live points, he went 28, and I got 95 points on that. And then I took Trae Young to his prop bet was a half a steal. All right, you got to take that. Trae, it's a guard, you know, just one little mistake, one little turnover from the other team, and Trae Young could have been the benefactor of that. So you want to take Trae Young there just off of a chance, right? He was getting 80 points for that prop bet there, 95 points if he didn't get it. So to say that Trae Young didn't get any steal at all, that's probably that's a harder factor, right, to go. That's a harder scenario to get. The odds are that he'd probably end up with a steal throughout the game and less odds that he would get go without a steal. So you get less points for For going with the up of the steal, which I went for. I elected to go with the up of the steal, and that's 80 points. So, and again, we had Brandon Ingram. I think his total rebounds was 5.5. I went and he got 6. I took the over on that. The over on that was 110. His under on that was 95. So apparently they didn't think that he would get more than 5 rebounds that game. He actually got 6. I got the 110 on that. All right, Tobias Harris, you know, he was scheduled to get, and this is another thing too, they combined points and rebounds. So you got 24.5. You know, that's you're combining two categories there. You would think that Tobias Harris going to the new Philadelphia 76ers, you would think that he would be able to accumulate, you know, rebounds and points, you know, at least muster it to get a combined 25. He was not able to do that. So I lost my prop bet on that. I also lost my prop bet on Terry Rozier and Steph Curry going, you know, 25.5. Steph Curry only went 24. But this is my point. The point that I'm getting to, I collectively earned 695 points. Throughout the contest entries, that got me second place in the contest, which allowed me to win $55. So how these points are added up, it's really cool. It's a really cool concept. You can, in a contest of 20, maybe 30 people, right, you don't have to land all your prop bets. Now, clearly, if you hit every prop bet, chances are you're going to take down the contest. You're raking, okay? But there's always a chance, even if you don't go clean, you know, you can essentially still stay in the money, right? I guess it's kind of like going 50 or, you know, the 50-50 plays that you do in DraftKings, but only, you know, it's not. What I'm saying is that it's real easy to win. You're not going to get the whole 50-50 portion, but, I mean, with only 10 out of the 20 people in the contest, it's pretty easy to hit it. Now, it's a GPP portion. It's not an actual 2020. It's not an actual 50-50 contest. It's an actual GPP, but you can still factor in and win decent money and win at least half the pot. So to me, why I like this and why I think the concept is so cool is that it combines the DFS portion of it and the prop bets. So even if you go and, because you know how like in DraftKings, how you can have the people like having the same, you can have two guys having the same lineup, right? And then you're going to split the whole GPP pot. So you could have two guys that you think you got $1 million lineup, but then you got three or four guys that still have the same lineup as you because you have lineup sharing in DFS. It's true. I mean, that's what's going on in all throughout any type of platform with FanDuel and in DraftKings. You're starting to see it now. There's so many lineup sharing because of lineup optimizers. Well, in Thrive Fantasy, the way they've done their concept and the way they've done their scheme and their rigging, their point system, is that you can have two guys that go clean. But because of the prop bet scale and the prop bet points differential, you can have guys that actually win out the full clean pot instead of sharing the pot. That's why I really like Thrive Fantasy. It's just a really cool concept. And the thing that I really would love to see them expand on a little bit more is to get more sports involved. So apparently right now they have NBA, NFL, and MLB, which, I mean, they're your top three, but I really like hockey. I think hockey would be awesome in this. I believe it was called Hot Roster back in the day. Hot Roster used to do a little bit of prop betting too, but it didn't combine the concept of daily fantasy sports in accumulating a score, combining your total earned points to gain in a tournament type of setting that allows you to win the money at the top, you know, that allows you to take down that pot, to take down that contest and win the top of the GPP. This concept does this. This platform, Thrive Fantasy, this company does this, man, which is why I think it's just so awesome, and it's something that I really like. I really like everybody to go out there and give it a whirl, man. You can go to Thrive Fantasy on Twitter, find them on Twitter at Thrive Fantasy, and you can go to thrivefantasy.com as well. We don't have anything set up with them, but you know, mention you heard it from Wags, and we'll see what we can get set up there. Maybe we can get you 10% off. I'm not guaranteeing you anything there. I'm just saying hopefully we can do a partnership with them in the future or something like that. But anyways, man, that's Thrive Fantasy. We got a lot going down. We got what do we call this? Daytona Sunday? Daytona, the Super Bowl of NASCAR. It doesn't really fly off the tongue there. But it is Daytona. It's all the left-hand turns you need to know. And, man, can Joey Logano carry on his reign? We'll talk about that. All that and more. I'm going to have to place my money on Martin Truex Jr., actually, man. That's where I'm going to have to go. MTJ, baby. We'll talk a little bit more about that here on the other side of it. You're listening to the Wagnermeyer on the Horn.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire. I am your host, Adam Wagner. You can find me on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. You can tweet the show at the Wagner Wire. You can tweet the radio station at the Horn ATX. And tweet this man, Taco, at Taco DFS for all of your Daytona 500 questions and comments. That's right. If you have any questions for the Daily Fantasy Sports Realm in DraftKings or FanDuel, give this guy a call, or call him if you want, but you probably won't answer. I'm not going to give you his phone number. You can tweet him, though, at Taco DFS. Mr. Taco, it's been a while, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, what's up?
How you been, man? It's been a while, man. We kind of let you kind of fall off a cliff there once NFL season got down, got coming around town. But we appreciate you jumping back on for the Daytona 500 today, and hopefully carry out some NASCAR talk throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's Texas and it's football. What more needs to be said there?
Right, I know. But the Cowboys are struggling, and when the Cowboys, you know, actually try to do a little bit good in football and start to have somewhat of a decent season, Cowboys fans, you know, start rejoicing, and they think they're going to win the Super Bowl. So we kind of had a lot to get to with the Cowboys fanship there. And without further ado, now that NASCAR is back, we have you on our lovely Vaqueros Cafe Cantina phone lines, man. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. And let's get right into it, man. Let's talk about these left-hand turns today in Daytona. What's going down? Who's the favorite here?
Well, the favorite certainly got into a bit of trouble there. Is Keselowski coming in? I'm sure the favorite's moved on to Joey Logano now, starting fourth. Keselowski's got to start all the way back in 35th because he screwed up his duel. Also screwed up his Xfinity race, finished last in that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out with him starting in the back there. We've also got Kyle Busch starting in the back in 31st. So those are the two plays that stick out the most right now.
And we talked a little bit about this last night because I was just trying to get a real good feel for Daytona. And it's not so much the guys up front for DraftKings that you want. And we'll break down the scoring on DraftKings, and we'll break down the scoring on FanDuel for the new listeners and the novice listeners that are just joining us for this season of NASCAR and that didn't get a chance to hear you break down the stuff last year when you came on the show. So really, there's points that factor in differently for both platforms. For FanDuel, you want to, I believe you told me, you want to have the guys traditionally up towards the front of the race, and then in DraftKings, you want to have the people traditionally towards the back of the race. Now, why is that? Can you elaborate a little bit about that for us?
Well, can you guys play FanDuel now?
We are back this season. FanDuel is in Texas.
Amazing. All right. So, I mean, the
more money in our pocket, baby. More money, more clients for you too, hopefully.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's something we've really seen with the difference between DraftKings and FanDuel there. On DraftKings, guys starting 20th or above, they average less than 20 fantasy points on average. As with the guys starting 26th or further back, they average over 35 fantasy points. So it's quite a huge difference there. As with FanDuel, it's a lot more spread out, a lot more based on survival. Your better drivers tend to do better with the FanDuel scoring system. You know, the top 10 average over 38 points each. Is where the back 10 average around 34 to 35 points. The points are just a lot closer over there on FanDuel, where, you know, on DraftKings, the scoring can be quite drastic. You know, if you have a guy that crashes on FanDuel, just with the points you get for just completing laps, that completely screws them over, even if they're starting in last place. It's where guy starting in last on DraftKings, he can't really go backwards any more than he already has. The points he starts with, he's guaranteed. Or if you start on the pole, you know, at any time you can crash and come last and get like -30. So
Taco,
the difference between the sites there.
What, in your expertise, what is the more difficult platform to play on? Because I found a lot. Again, now this will be the first year that I've actually dabbled in FanDuel when it comes to NASCAR. But I've always been more successful for FanDuel in terms of baseball and in NBA as well. So MLB and NBA, I'm more successful in FanDuel. That's where my winning percentage is a little bit better. But I'm really anxious to see how this factors in and translates over for NASCAR too. Because I've had a lot of success with NASCAR, but it's only been on the DraftKings side, and I think because I'm really good at playing the differentials very well. And a lot of that you don't really see in FanDuel. Is that correct? Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, so in FanDuel, it's a newer product. They added NASCAR to it last year. And DraftKings has had NASCAR since, I think it was the 2015 Coca-Cola 600. So the players on DraftKings, they've had a long time for the meta to sort of shift in. People are a lot more comfortable with, you know, they pretty much know what to do oftentimes, especially when you get into the higher entries and stuff. But on FanDuel, it's a newer product. People did not have it figured out at first. And, you know, you still see some drastic differences in ownership. With FanDuel, you can't download things like ownership, so it's a little bit hard to do a lot of analysis like you do on DraftKings. That's just across the board.
You're meaning, so DraftKings is a little bit more transparent with their players, correct?
Kind of. I mean, you just can't download everyone's entries like immediately and find ownership really quickly. But yeah, for DraftKings, you know, I'd say it's a bit sharper over there. Just because it's been around for so long, the scoring hasn't really changed since the big scoring change in 2016 where they got rid of the pass differential points. But the contests are also a lot bigger on DraftKings. Like, these are the biggest NASCAR contests that we've ever had, like the $10 this week, as where the contests...
And DFS Army's been killing it, man. You guys always usually produce a pretty decent multi-thousand-dollar winner almost each season. Well, a couple of multi-thousand-dollar winners in the NASCAR season, correct? I mean, you had three or four of them last year?
Yeah. A few of them are me over on FanDuel.
There you go. I tried to get you to toot your horn just a little bit, man. I was hoping you'd be a little bit braggadocious.
A little tiny bit. I think I won like 5 or 6 GPPs last year, but in FanDuel in particular, it was the 2 weeks where FanDuel was asleep at the wheel and forgot to move the lock times up. There were a couple of races where rain was a factor, so they moved the race up like a few minutes, like 15, 20 minutes or so, and FanDuel didn't catch on to that. So we were able to get DraftKings ownership on those races, and we were able to compare it to what do we expect with FanDuel and stuff? And, like, I think one of the races we had noticed that, like, Keselowski had, like, no ownership whatsoever on DraftKings. So hammering him over there on FanDuel. And he came through in a major way, won some big buckles over there. But I don't think they're going to be quite as asleep this year. You know, it took them a while to even get, like, starting positions up there and stuff like that. But they've kind of come a long way with it. We kind of saw a similar thing with golf. That started... I don't know, about a half a year to a year before.
And you cover both of those for DFS Army, correct?
Kind of saw that develop. Yeah, I do.
All right, and I guess I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was going to say, as we saw golf kind of develop, we saw them, you know, be really slow with getting, you know, salaries all right and stuff. But we've seen that product come a lot way, and it's a lot more competitive now. We'll continue to see some stuff like that with FanDuel. They've also got like the tiered system that DraftKings has on some other sports, but they don't have that for NASCAR. So that's another thing you can find over there.
Right on. Now, hey Taco, have you always been a NASCAR fan, or did you grow up watching the tracks go around watching the cars go around the track, or you know, is just something that you've been more into now because, or you're just more of an avid fan because you got skin in the game with daily fantasy sports?
Oh no, I grew up in Indiana, if that tells you anything.
All right, so there you go.
Parents all about Jeff Gordon, friends of family all about Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman. You know, I was always about Austin Bill from Dawsonville.
Okay, so you've been a fan for, you know, over for decades now, right? For you know, since growing up, since
my show diecast, yes. There's a generation of Car where I really tuned out the Car of Tomorrow. I think that turned a lot of fans off, but Daily Fantasy did help a lot with. I'd been asking for years, like, when are they going to add NASCAR? And when they finally did, you know, pretty much all hell broke loose. It was pretty much what I expected and more. It's one of the more fun daily fantasy sports, just like from an objective standpoint. I think it helps the sport more than any other sport, because it'd be kind of be hard to watch without daily fantasy. I'll be quite frank with how the sport is now, but.
No,
really
no,
it's a big boost. Fantasy helps it a lot.
I feel you, man. I would watch it here and there and watch it sporadically, but I was never a diehard or an avid fan growing up. I think I cheered for Rusty Wallace just because he drove the Miller Lite car, but or the number two. But to me, you know, I'm definitely more attentive and definitely more into it because I have money riding on the cars going around the track in daily fantasy sports. I think it's great. It even for the novice and, I guess, new fan of NASCAR, and, you know, it's just really, it's a lot more exciting for me because even though, like, I didn't even understand how differential points worked last year, you know what I mean, until, you know, going over, having you on the show, breaking this down, coaching not just me, in live person or on live radio, but also my listeners too. So we really appreciated that as well. And it's for me, it's a lot more interesting now that I have a lot more skin in the game because of fantasy sports. That's just what I wanted to ask you that. I just didn't know if you were, into it because of fantasy sports or if you've always been, you know, a diehard NASCAR fan.
No, it definitely helps. I mean, you know the excitement you get at a racetrack.
Yeah,
right?
I've been to a few. I've been to Dover and I've been to Richmond.
No, I mean like a horse track.
Oh, yeah, for
you know,
sure,
that
yeah.
Excitement, right? It's basically like if they made the horses just run until they died. They run like 500 laps around the track. Just all that excitement.
Nice.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense why, you know, it helped so much by the fantasy product. You know, it gets really exciting, especially now that we added the trucks. That thing was wild.
Yeah, the truck series
on Friday night.
Truck series
Everybody
is pretty cool
crapped.
Too, man. Yeah, man, that's pretty cool. All right, so let's go over the favorites real quick for Daytona. We got a few texters coming in. Hey, what do you think about Hamlin? How do you think Denny Hamlin's going to do in Daytona? Do you think he's picked for the favorite? Do you think he'll actually make some decent score? He's got a good pole, decent pole for Daytona, but I mean, I think the money's got to be on Kess, right?
Well, I think only one person is the pole here, but yeah, I mean, Keselowski.
Well, yeah, 11, I'm sorry.
I'm going to go check this, just see what the current lines are right now, but yeah, Hamlin's really good here in the past. He won by, like, millimeters over Truex in the 2017 Daytona 500. He's had some pretty bad luck since then, but he's been known to pop off occasionally and put up a good finish. I know that he's definitely going to work with the other Toyotas. They've kind of really made that known throughout the course of the week. So Kyle Busch.
Why are we seeing a lot of the Toyotas to the rear?
What?
Why are we seeing a lot of the Toyotas to the rear? I saw an article that most of the Toyotas are coming to the rear of the track.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's a strategy they do together sometimes. I think we saw it 2 years ago in the 500 where. To avoid like a major crash or something,
pass with mass.
They'll all just draft together. Like they'll take a different. We saw in the duels, like it was very manufacturer based. Like when teams would go pit or something, like we saw all the Chevys stay out while the Fords and Toyotas all pitted.
So it's strat
like that. We've just seen JGR Fords in particular do it, or not Fords, but the JGR Toyotas in particular pull that kind of strategy a lot more, and. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if early on they'll like fall all the way to the back because it seems like you know get a feeling from this race from the play races last year and even the Xfinity race yesterday. There might be a lot of single file action going on. It just seems like you know as we're over the last year or two, things have gotten a lot. Did say in poker a lot nittier, a lot more conservative of these plate races until we get to the. Yeah, this is the last race with the classic restrictor plate. So things are about to change up quite a bit after this. But I kind of expect more of a boring race. Maybe it's just me being cynical. But, you know, you definitely want to make lineups with like different manufacturers together. That was the key to Talladega. It was Stuart Haas Racing going 1, 2, 3, 4 all race in a single file line. And it was the one Talladega race without a big crash. And of course, it was the one Talladega race I went to. That's how life works, you know? So it was just leftover cynicism from that. But I think it's just going to be single file racing for a good portion of this race until it isn't.
Until we usually see, like the last, you know, couple of laps, last five or seven laps.
There's a restart.
What's that?
It's the restarts that are going to be interesting. That's
okay.
Things can get dicey and everyone's bunched up. If they make it past the restart, it gets into single file. That's where you can roll your eyes and go, oh boy.
Right on. All right. So who's your favorite for Daytona, man? We're up against it. We got to let you go here in a couple of minutes. So I just want to get your picks for Daytona.
Yeah.
And we'll be on our way, man. We'll be set to let the, what is it, the green flag? Is that what they do?
Yeah, it's the green flag.
Right on. Yeah, I know. I'm joking with you, man.
Yeah, I like the guy that should have won it last year, Eric Almirola. He was winning this up until the very last lap. He might not be like super ideal for fantasy starting eighth, but I really, really like him here. He got his first win at that Talladega race I had mentioned last year. Not his first win overall, but his first win at a plate race, which, he won this race in Daytona back in 2014, but it wasn't really a full-on like victory where he dominated and deserved to win, you know.
That was sort of like a poacher's race?
He's really broken through with the move to Stuart Haas Racing and having, you know, a fast Mustang. And we've seen so far this week, you know, guys like Kevin Harvick and Clint Bowyer, his teammates, dominated both of the duels. And we saw, again, Logano win another one of those. Just, I know that Ford's pretty much always the favorite here. They're the Vegas favorite right now. I think they're like, plus 250 to win by manufacturer odds, better than Toyota and Chevy. I mean, it pretty much goes Ford over Chevy or over Toyota at these races, which, as you know, most places, Toyotas aren't really the least favorite at most tracks. Usually that's like Chevy or something, but this is what we see here. So I like me some Almirola. I also like Ryan Blaney. Those are the two guys that I would pick to win the race. And Ryan Blaney dominated this race for a good portion last year before running into trouble. That's really the story of Blaney at these kind of tracks. He usually does really, really well, provided he doesn't get into trouble.
Sure.
And, you know, anytime all of these guys could crash, like lap two.
Right, and we know that's the outlier, that's the anomaly. Like, you can plan for a great day, and then all of a sudden, you know, one crash, and then, you know, there goes your whole lineup. So, yeah, we understand that.
Anomaly. It's almost expected.
Right. Yeah, better put. All right, Taco, so besides, besides Almirola, besides Blaney, we said this will be the 14th try for Kyle Busch. You know, he's down there looking a little bit, I guess that's favorable position there for DraftKings. What do you think about Kyle Busch? Do you think he can actually capture it this time? You just mentioned how clutch and how key that, that track history and track recognition is. Do you think that Busch can actually get over the hump here?
Yeah, I mean, we saw his brother, Kurt, get over the hump here, too, in 2017, get his first Daytona 500 victory. Kyle, he's definitely competed before. He just usually runs into trouble and stuff. So sometimes
is that just because he's just too much of an – I mean, he's a very aggressive driver, right?
He's quite aggressive, yeah, but most of the time when you crash here, it's not your fault. Like, it'll be one person's fault for, like, 10 people's crashes, you know.
And just because everybody's so bunched up together.
To judge people's performance at Daytona, but Kyle Busch is so much of a veteran that you don't really need to ask him much about any track, really. He knows them all by heart. Of course, he always does better on, you know, the shorter of the track, the more Kyle Busch is going to come into play. He's never done quite that great here historically, but he could definitely put himself up there. I mean, 2016, he almost won both of those Daytona races. That's pretty much as good of a shot as any other stud out there. Just, probably going to be more of a strategy victory for him than some others. You know, it would just be a little a little bit weird to see him out there. He was on top of practice times in practice three for whatever that's worth. But he has a shot about as much as anyone else. 15 to 1 odds are really, really low for Kyle Busch, but you're going to kind of notice that across the board.
Right.
You know, a lot of the with how it is, a lot of the scrubs have really high odds compared to where they'd usually be, you know, completely out of it. Just with the nature of the race, it gives you know, for a stud, it's not the best race just because you don't have the usual advantage of your equipment and stuff. This is a great race for the lower end
people, right? The lower with the worst cars and the worst equipment. No, I feel you there, man. All right, man. Any surprises? Any surprises that we'll see for racers entering this race and that really won't be on the slate going forward? Yeah, any shock racers that I like to call it?
Well, Jamie McMurray comes to mind. He's in his final race here, a one-off Daytona 500 with his team Chip Ganassi Racing. Kurt Busch has taken over his car for the rest of the year. This is a madman, an absolute madman here, this Jamie McMurray guy. He's crashed the field a few times before. He might not have any friends riding around here, but, you know, I like a man that has absolutely nothing to lose.
There you go, man. It's a dangerous man, too, and you're a dangerous guy as well, Taco. Hey, we'll talk to you next week for the next race. How about that, all right?
All right.
Hey, before we let you go, what can you give our listeners again, or what can you tell our listeners? Give them any deals going forward for this season going out?
Oh, yeah. You get a 20% off discount to DFS Army if you use promo code Taco.
There you go, man. He's also go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. You can find me at the Fake Wag. No, I'm just kidding. But at Taco DFS. You will find me on Twitter. And DFS Army, that's where I'm at most of the time, getting ready for this race.
Laying down that potent product, Taco's Fast 40. You can find that on Tuesday. Is that usually when it releases?
No, that's the PGA podcast.
Oh, PGA podcast. Right on. All right, man. Hey, good stuff as usual, Taco. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, I'll see you.
All right, brother, good stuff. I'll talk to you then. There he goes. It is Taco, Taco DFS. You can find him on Twitter, like he just mentioned. He brings in all that potent product for DFSArmy.com. All right, when we return, we'll break down a little bit more of this Daytona 500. We'll get into some NFL. On the other side, we'll have Al Walsh as well. All that and more. We got a loaded show. You're listening to us on the Wagner Wire. You're listening to the Wagner Wire on the Horn.
To the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Here I am. Here's Wags. That's right. You're listening to us on 104.9 The Horn, 101.9 The Horn, AM 1260. So many ways to hear our message, but know this, we are the Horn. That's right. This is the Wagner Wire. I am your host, Adam Wagner. You can be a part of the conversation at 512-447-3776. That's the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Or you can call us or you can text us on the Specs text line at 512-337-3776. So many ways to be a part of the conversation. You can follow me on Twitter at not the fake Wags. You can tweet the show at the Wagner Wire or tweet the radio station at the Horn ATX. Man, there's so many. I mean, I'm not sure how many of you watched the NBA All-Star slam dunk contest and the NBA All-Star three-point contest, but there's a lot going on, not just in sports, but also just in television as well. Like, for instance, True Detective's out there. There's so many good shows out there. And I'm not sure how you guys are watching your programs, programs, if you will, as BK likes to say. I've been doing it with Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations because, you know, for what, the better part of 3-4 months now, they came out and really hooked me up with a fat system. That's right. In my office, I have 250-inch LG TVs. Just really, I mean, what, God, what, 1080p, 4K? I mean, they're ridiculous. And then down in my living room, I got a home theater system as well that Tom and AV Consultations were really able to hook up for Katie and Reed so that the whole family could just enjoy, you know, awesome quality time when we watched not just movies, but sports as well. So for me, with my wife and I, we like to watch True Detective. And then, you know, usually when because my kid can't watch that, he goes on up into the office and then literally sits there and plays all of his video games and is still able to watch sports because of the two TV setup. But all that was provided by Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. Give them a call. You got to right now. You got to give them a call today at 512-255-8678 or go online at avconsultations.com. See the gallery of projects that they've done over the past 30 years. That's right. For 30 years, since 1988, they've been setting the standard in video audio automation in Austin, Texas, in the Central Texas area. No one does it better than Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. Give them a call today, 512-255-8678, or go online at avconsultations.com. You got to go online. Hopefully you go and you were able to see or experience a good experience of the NBA All-Star Game. I was able to in my setting because of Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. You gotta call him today. All right, man. The NBA All-Star Game is coming up tonight, or coming up later on today, actually, but we also got Daytona 500. We just had Taco from DFS Army come on, talk about all the left-handed turns that you need to know. On the other side of it, we're going to be talking a little bit of NFL. That's right. We got the Joe Flacco trade to talk about. We got Kareem Hunt to talk about. We also got AB, Lev Bell, so many things. Lots of turmoil going on in Steeler Nation. Hopefully they can resolve this and kind of find some type of remedy, because Steeler Nation, man, could be going down. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Let's see, what else are we going to break down? Oh, it's just a tip as well. We'll have Al Walsh come on. He'll break that down. He'll break down more NBA news as well. A little bit about his Brooklyn Nets. See, he's a Nets fan. Yeah, we'll find out more about that on the other side. You listen to us on the Wagner Wire here on the Horn.